Not all meals are created equal. For instance, breakfast has the spicy egg McMuffin for a limited time, and lunch doesn't. McDonald's breakfast comes first. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Joseph Sternberg, member of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal. He writes the political economics column. He's based in London. But we come home to central banking in America, although this speaks to central bankers everywhere. Wall Street Journal reporting, as the Federal Reserve raises interest rates to cool the economy and slow inflation, it is contending with the imprecise and inconsistent effect of monetary policy on the economy. The Nobel Prize-winning economist Milton Friedman famously argued that, quote, monetary actions affect economic conditions only after a lag that is both long and variable, end quote. Since it can take years before the full effects of tightening become apparent, the Fed tends to move incrementally, adjusting policy gradually while scrutinizing economic data for signs of its effects. Joe, I stopped there because quoting Milton Friedman usually means that the writer has something in mind. And what I presume the writer is now presenting to us is talk going around Federal Reserve circles. You know, Joe, they all hang out in the same barista bar. You understand. And the word lag has come up several times in these last weeks, meaning we've done the hikes. We've now got to wait to see how it works. I believe Mary Daly of San Francisco Fed used the word lag pointedly. So do you account for the lag theory that we've done jumbo hikes and we need to slow it down?
Well, I think there are a couple issues going on here. I mean, first off, it's not just within policymaking circles that you're starting to hear this discussion about long and variable lags. Wall Street is very eager to encourage this kind of discussion, too, because the context of this is that if you believe that what the Fed already has done will have an effect on the economy, but with a long and variable lag, that suggests that the Fed should stop raising rates now to wait and see for some indefinite period, the effect that its policy changes so far will have on inflation. So you can understand why Wall Street investors would be enthusiastic about this idea, since they get really hurt in the here and now every time interest rates go up a bit more. But I think that, there are some difficulties with this framework. I mean, one of them is that, for all that Milton Friedman line gets quoted quite often, and I think there might be something to it, it also highlights how little we potentially understand about any of these policy issues, because usually you would say, if you believe that the thing that you're doing has some effect, but you can't say when it will have that effect, and that time gap will be variable each time you do the thing, you might start wondering if there were other factors in play that were not included in your equation. And so I think that, the more the Fed wants to have this discussion, the more they're only going to highlight how little they understand about what they're doing. And meanwhile, you have this credibility issue where I think that the Fed has committed itself to fighting inflation. And the reality is that even after these rate increases, which have been at a much steeper pace than the historical norm, we're still ending up with interest rates that are not very far off the historical average for periods when inflation was much lower. So, I think that the Fed is going to get a bit stuck here, where they might want to hold off for a bit to understand what effect their policies are actually having or might have in the future. But they might not have that luxury for the reason that they need to continue demonstrating their commitment to bringing inflation under control.
The remarks on Wall Street are all about the investment community. I understand that. So we go to other markets where you can see the effect. There's a headline today about the sharp drop in housing, not just in the U.S., but worldwide. Rapid, sharp descent. There are frequent statistics to show the inventory is growing by leaps and bounds. Used to be very difficult to find a house anywhere in suburban America. Now the supply is, they're swimming in supply. I also mentioned the layoffs that have started at the highest end, high tech and fintech, all businesses that profited during the pandemic and are now laying off people with really good salaries. Now, any of that could be taken by the Federal Reserve as a consequence of their raising rates what is it, 3.75 now with these jumbo hikes. Can we guess that the Fed cares about any one thing more than another, housing or jobs or the intangible of a hesitation by the consumer?
Well, what's happening in the housing market and also what's going on in the tech sector, where the other factor is the significant drop in stock valuations of a lot of these companies. A lot of that, I think, is pretty directly related to what the Fed has been doing. And in fact, I mean, it's very painful. And I'm saying this as someone who owns a home, too. So I am affected by declining house prices. But the reality is that this is going to be a very painful, necessary transition that the economy will have to go through as we transition out of the ultra low interest rate environment. And in fact, the pain associated with this transition would have been a very good argument, which many of us were making at the time, for the Fed not to have kept interest rates as low for as long as it did, so that we wouldn't have ended up in this situation. But that's all water under the bridge. And I think that the reality is that the economy is going to have to adjust to higher rates. Now, so far, the Fed has signaled that it is aware of these implications of its policies, but it's not going to be distracted from its core inflation fighting message. And in fact, I've often been critical of Chairman Jerome Powell. But in this regard, I will give him credit. I think that a lot of people were concerned that he was going to see turmoil on the stock markets on Wall Street and some of the bond markets and start thinking that he needed to really dial back from the easing. He has steered through all of that turbulence because he has kept his focus on inflation fighting. But I think that the real lesson here is that that fight against inflation is only part of this bigger story about a lot of asset prices that got seriously out of alignment, over the past 10, 15 years, and now are unfortunately going to have to go through some kind of correction.
Misery loves company. So I come to Europe, Joe, on this story. This is the Journal also. The European Central Bank will have to raise its key interest rate much further if it is to bring down persistently high inflation. This, according to the OECD, the quote from the OECD's acting chief economist, real wages are falling in many countries, slashing purchasing power. If inflation is not contained, these problems will only become worse. Thus, fighting inflation has to be our top policy priority right now. You have written of the ECB and Christine Lagarde, and I believe that last summer the rates on the ECB were less than zero, if that's imaginable. They were minus. Now they're raising rates, but this from the OECD says not fast enough. Is that your measure as well? Are they dragging their feet?
I think that the European Central Bank is very far behind on the controlling inflation. And I think that they're much behind other central banks, with the exception of the Bank of Japan, which is a very special case. The European Central Bank is behind all of its peers now in terms of trying to get to grips with inflation. And the consequence of that is that inflation in the Eurozone keeps escalating. This is going to create a lot of problems, because that inflation ultimately weighs on people's real standard of living and can have a lot of negative effects on the economy. The other danger, which I don't think the OECD talked about very much but could have, is the consequence for the inflation rate, the exchange rate, because a big difficulty that we've had is that the Federal Reserve has fallen out of sync with its peers like the European Central Bank or the Bank of England, because the Fed has been much more aggressive, much more hawkish in combating inflation. That has had the effect of pushing up interest rates in the U.S. faster than elsewhere, and that causes a big appreciation in the value of the dollar. And that weak euro increasingly is threatening to cause problems for the Eurozone economy. So I think that there are a lot of good reasons for Christine Lagarde to try to bring the ECB more closely into alignment with the Fed and other central banks more quickly.
And therefore, what I'm hearing, Joe, from reading these reports, this is Bloomberg, the London Times, the Telegraph, the Financial Times, is that what we're witnessing was expected. There are no surprises here. The slowdown is in place. The slowdown will accelerate, and that there is no reason to panic. We're just going to go through a bad patch, and then we'll reprice our assets. Is that how to regard all of this?
Well, that's the story now. But the problem with these things is history has shown that the monetary tightening and the bubble deflating always goes according to plan until the precise moment that it doesn't anymore. And we've already seen in the turmoil in the market for UK government bonds a couple months ago, we've seen hints that there are financial risks out there that we don't understand that will be aggravated by rising interest rates. So I think that really the only thing you can do at this point is cross your fingers and hope for the best and be glad that for now this seems to be an orderly process and hope that that continues.
You remind me to bring up cryptocurrency, not because it's a profound subject, but because I puzzle. We've all been reading the news about one particular crypto exchange, but in general, cryptocurrency was always a really good idea for the last 10 years. Is that something that was bound to be under severe stress, maybe even disappear in parts because of the rise of interest rates? In other words, are we seeing the phenomenon itself as a product of too long, too low rates, and now that they're reverting to mean, crypto blows up?
Yeah, I think there is a practical issue and then also sort of a philosophical issue in play there. So the practical issue is that we've had this environment for the past 15 years where there was an enormous quantity of capital sloshing around in the economy and with very low interest rates and people desperate to get some kind of return. And that seems to have encouraged an awful lot of speculation in crypto on the part of a lot of people who probably should have known better and probably did know better, but also felt that they didn't have any alternative if they wanted to get a decent return, given that the interest rates on everything else were so low. And, you know, that ties into the philosophical issue here, which is that I think that central banks for normal currencies have faced a growing credibility issue where they were engaged in a lot of these very experimental policies that they didn't understand, the general public didn't understand, that a lot of people didn't really know what effect this was going to have on the economy. Clearly, it was not really good for institutional credibility to have these central banks doing that. And yeah, I think there's one way of reading the pursuit of crypto or the enthusiasm for that as people trying to figure out if crypto and the blockchain might be the thing that would have this credibility that people no longer thought that the central banks had. And so what's happening now is that the central banks are belatedly acting to restore their credibility while we're discovering that there were some credibility issues in the crypto space, and that will potentially trigger a realignment too.
And of course, there's politics in this, but we're not following politics now. We're following the money. Joe, finally, about crypto, is it getting the attention in London that it's getting here in the U.S. thanks to the Wall Street Journal and other reporting?
Oh, absolutely. I think there's a lot of fascination in the story of FTX is the one that is now filing for bankruptcy, right? The crypto exchange and the rest of that. And I think there is a lot of attention in that because there was interest in crypto here in Europe as well. And people are on high alert, especially after the UK bond market issue a couple months ago. People are on high alert for anything that might trigger a contagion somehow or that might signal that there are problems in the financial system. And I think there's a certain amount of relief that so far these crypto stories seem not to be that, but also a little nervousness about whether they might become so in the future.
Joseph Sternberg, he's in London for the Wall Street Journal editorial board. He's a member. He writes political economics. We're going to turn to life in London, not only the weather, but also it's Christmas, and that means this year strikes, perhaps. Also, the prime minister says that this will be a challenging winter. An interesting choice of modifier, challenging. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Does Friendly have a taste? If it does, it's probably like Hello's peppermint-flavored anti-plaque and whitening toothpaste. Brush away plaque, show Tartar who's boss, and remove surface stains to naturally whiten. Hello's thoughtful and flavor-forward products make brushing your teeth feel like a confetti-filled bathroom dance party. So say hello to Hello with the always cruelty-free, never tested on animals toothpaste that's made to spread smiles. Visit HelloProducts.com and let Hello add some everyday yay into your life.
There's a time and a place for Filet-O-Fish. But breakfast is for sausage biscuits. McDonald's breakfast comes first. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.